Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. Perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. And so my question for you today is, what do you believe about what you're doing here? I mean, at this particular time in history, at this point within time and space, what do you believe about yourself? And how does that fit in to the world at large? Now, this week, I've talked a little bit about how we create this subjective sense of meaning. You know, one thing that's interesting is a lot of people in this culture seem to really lack meaning. And I've been fascinated by that because meaning isn't something that is like a random chance that we randomly get. Like, we understand how humans cultivate the subjective psychological sense of meaning within their lives. I've talked a lot about value systems this week. That's one of the ways. Another way that we create meaning in our lives is we understand our story, our narrative, right? That's the way that we make sense of the world, is through story. We tell ourselves a particular story. And when we create meaning, we understand our story nested within a larger narrative. And so as the world unfolds, we see that we have a certain point, as in our life here means something, and that is why it's called meaning. And I think part of the reason our culture struggles with this today is because there's a popular line in contemporary thought, which is that the world doesn't give a fuck about you, or rather the universe. That's probably how you've seen it. Now, that might be true, because everything we're going to talk about today, it's not true in the sense that it's provable. And so we're going to have to pull these things apart a little bit. But if you buy that line of thinking that the world, you know, the universe doesn't give a fuck about you, what you're left with is that now you have to create a sense of meaning for yourself. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in my life is that humans are god-awful at giving themselves purpose. Like, some people can do it, I guess. I can't, though. It's like very hard for me to just decide what my life means in this moment. Rather, it's easier for me to look at the larger unfolding of things and survey myself and the gifts that I have, and then ask myself, how might those gifts be useful to the unfolding of creation around me? And that's where I've tended to find my own personal subjective sense of meaning. And that to me seems a little bit more psychologically sound, again, just because, you know, we're so limited in our ability. Like, we rarely know even what we want, right? This is one of the problems with being really self-serving in this life, is you think that you want to serve yourself, and then you look at your past and you have this sort of string of broken relationships and experiences, and you realize, like, there's something about ourselves that when we serve ourselves is just not that useful for our lives. It seems to be that when we serve each other, when we serve some sort of higher purpose, we find a lot more joy and meaning, which makes sense because, as I've said, the way that you find meaning is you see your experience, your story nested within a larger story. And so what is that larger story that you are serving? Now, one of the reasons that I've gone down the religious path is because I find that that is one of the ways that humans have been creating meaning in this world for thousands and thousands of years. So if you're new to my thought process, you've probably not heard me talk too much about religion. So the 2-second version is that religion in the classical sense comes from the Latin word religiosa, which is to religament, which is to reconnect, which is to look at all of the mystery, all of the chaos, all of the things that just do not make any sense to us, and try to intimate a reason, try to communicate with that mystery, try to figure out, is there some larger unfolding narrative here? Or is it actually just chaos? Are we actually just in this chaotic time? And so one of the immense values that I particularly find in religion, and I don't care what, I'm going to talk about a certain religious practice today. I don't care which one, well, I don't care really what it is that you believe or whatever. I'm just trying to offer things that have been useful in my life. But again, I'm trying to talk today, not in the sense that you would attach yourself to a certain narrative, but rather that you would see that there is value in understanding where you are nested within all of these things. Now, part of the reason that this is important is because humans are so finite in our awareness, right? And so one of the reasons we have this concept that we use the word God to describe, and every time we describe it, we tend to describe it as omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, right? And so that is the thing that is by our own definition without desire, because it is all things at all times. And so one of the things that's interesting, though, is as we describe that, as we attribute those characteristics to God, something else becomes clear, which is we're not that. We're finite and limited in our awareness. And so because we're finite and limited in our awareness, we don't get privy. We're not privy, let's say, to ultimate answers. And so we need things like philosophical thought, like wisdom traditions, like religion, to try to help us understand, because we can't. We cannot look at the destruction that's happening in the world right now and understand what the hell that means unless we start coming up with these larger narratives, these larger stories to try to explain all of the mystery and all of the chaos and all of the destruction. And then the incredible part about religion is that you can find out where you actually exist in the unfolding of all of that. And then what seemed random becomes not so random. And that is going to be a good segue into the questions I want to ask you today, which is, as you look around the world, is it by chance that you find yourself in a world with so much darkness, or do you personally have light that you could give? Is it by accident that you find yourself amidst a world with so much hate, or do you have love to give? Is it only an unfortunate happenstance that you find yourself in such a chaotic world, or are there people who desperately need your stability? And the reason I'm asking you those questions is because, is this provable in any, you know, actual sense? Of course not. But the thing to ask yourself is there productivity in adopting these belief systems? Is there productivity in adopting that in a dark world you might have light to give? I don't know. That's a question that you would want to answer for yourself. But I've found that if I can apply these sort of principles and these sort of stories to my own life, I realize in the chaos, maybe I'm not helpless in this. And in fact, maybe I have an integral role to play. Now, let's talk about something else here, which is there's a lot of confusion in the world right now. There's a lot of what seems like injustice in the world right now. There's a lot of things that people of good conscience disagree with that is happening in the world right now. It actually doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum that you fall, because you find that there's some sort of injustice coming from the other side of the spectrum, right? And so what happens is we end up in this situation where we really care about all of these things out in the world and whether our particular beliefs and thoughts are adopted by others. But what's interesting is there's not much you can do about that. Now, I'm not saying it's not noble to care about things on the other side of the world. And in fact, actually, I think there's a huge nobility in trying to change the world for the better, even the world that you're not in. What I'm saying is you're impotent to do that if you can't change the world that you're in. What I'm saying is that when we go to change the world, we should not forget that that first applies to the one directly in front of us. So you guys will notice throughout all these morning coffees, sometimes I'll like talk about lessons that I've like read in Buddhism or whatever, right? So I'd love for you to, if you can, and I know that you might not be able to, but separate yourself from the religious connotations of these teachers that I'm going to talk about and ask yourself, you know, look, let's think about the classical thought, the classical definition of religion. Ask yourself, is there value in the way that this particular religion is religamenting, reconnecting the entire world around us? Because if you can detach yourself from having to believe whatever it is that you were raised with or whatever, you can ask yourself a new question, which is, what are the lessons that are emerging out of those stories? And if I apply those lessons to my life now, will it make my life better or will it make it worse? Will I have more meaning or will I have less meaning? And so what we're looking for are the lessons that emerge. And so for the purposes of this podcast, that's kind of why I don't have any issue going back and forth from different wisdom traditions and talking about it, because I'm trying to ask myself questions that if we were to all ask ourselves, would it make our lives more meaningful or less meaningful? Now, I started this podcast off with that quote from Esther, that perhaps this is the moment for which you've been created, because one of the lessons that emerges in the Hebrew Bible that doesn't emerge in other religions is the responsibility of the individual to act in a forthright manner, right? And so one of the narratives that continues to emerge within the entire Hebrew Bible is actually the way that you act, the way that you position yourself towards life has an actual effect on the world. Now, you might ask yourself, or you might tell yourself, that actually it doesn't matter, and that's your prerogative. You certainly have the right to do that, let's say. But also, I would ask you something else, which is, do you really not notice that the way that you act affects the world that you're living in? You know, we can go out on the highway, an example I've used on Morning Coffee before, and if everybody cuts you off is an idiot, you might not be wrong about that. But the implications is that you might live in a world full of complete idiots. And so we don't look past people's transgressions, let's say. We don't look past people's shortcomings and look for the nuance in people and give people the benefit of the doubt, because it's altruistic, and being altruistic is right for its own sense. Now, that might be a belief you have, but that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is, you're actually authoring energy into the world that you live in right now. And so the way that you show up actually matters. And the way that the individual positions themselves in life might actually affect the world that they're in. And so as we reflect on that, as we reflect on the world that we're in, we have to ask ourselves, are we so focused on the sickness that we forget that maybe we have the remedy? Now, you don't have the remedy for all of it. You can't solve all of the world's problems. And quite honestly, the world is so complex, you can't even get your mind around the problems, because you're not omnipotent, because you're not omniscient, because you are limited in your ability to think, you're limited in your ability to act. And so actually the only thing you can do at this very moment is affect the world with your thoughts and with your actions that is directly in front of you. And so one of the genius things I really like, again, please, if you can, separate the connotations of divinity and the connotations of the way that you've heard Christianity described, because one of the narratives that emerges in the Hebrew Bible is that one of the chief characteristics that changes or decides the trajectory of the world is the way that the individual adopts responsibility. And if you read that Bible, you read that story, it's people failing, right? Completely. They're constantly trying to live up to, you know, the glory of God, let's say, and they're constantly falling short. That's what the whole entire Bible is. It's like time after time after time, people are given other chances and we screw up. So what does that tell us about ourselves? Well, it tells us that we fall short of the mark. Again, I know that, like, as I start talking about this, you start filtering it through your childhood, and then you come up with all of these things that you've been told that you've either rejected or accepted or believed or didn't believe. What's the narrative? What's the lesson that's emerging here for us for the purposes of this podcast? So what's interesting is, if you check out the Gospels, which are the sort of the historical story of Jesus's life, that's what the point of them is. At the end of them, specifically John, he keeps saying, you know, people come up to him and they say, well, what's the most important commandment? And he says, love God, love people. And then at the end, he's kind of summing up all of his work. And he says, you know, if you keep my command, then you'll be able to live up to the glory of God. You'll be able to access the Father, right? That's the theological point that's emerging there. And so what he says is, my command is this, love each other. And there's a one point in John, like, I think I was reading today, it was like, I went through like maybe four or five chapters, and that same command it popped up like four or five different times. Like, it keeps getting reiterated in all of these different ways. Like, basically, love your neighbor as yourself and see yourself as someone worthy of loving. Now, you have to ask yourself, why? Why is that? Now, is it just this airy-fairy, hippy-dippy sort of thing up in the sky that's disembodied from our lives? What I would say, if we're looking for the lesson that emerges and asking ourselves, is that applicable to our lives today, right now, in this moment? And I think part of it is, you know, people, they argue about whether these things happened or didn't happen. For the purposes of what I'm talking about, that's a moot point. The point is, if we extract the lessons now, not did it happen at some point in its history, is it happening now? Is it relevant right now at this moment, at this particular point in history? Because you're not back there. You're here now. You're looking at the chaos in your world right now. And so why this emphasis on just love yourself and love your neighbor? Well, it happens to be all that you can do. And I mean that in a very grounded way. If you're grounded in your life right now and you ask yourself, what would make the biggest difference? It's like, well, start authoring love into your world right now and see how that affects it. I think part of this is because we have access to media. And so media kind of tells us what's going on, and with social media and all these new media outlets and 24/7 media cycles. And so we're constantly being told about all of the other problems in the world, all of the things that are existing. And some of those things tear at our heartstrings. And that's why we feel so, you know, so moved to do something about it. And there's something noble about that. But what can you do right now? Well, you can love the people that are in your world right now. And if you do, it happens to be the most and least you could possibly do, right? It happens to be the best kind of energy that you could offer into your life right now. It's really hard to get your mind around the complexities of the injustice of the world that we live in. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you find yourself on, because on either side, doesn't matter, there's some sort of injustice. You're perceiving it. You're realizing that half of the country thinks the exact opposite way of you. They have all the same fears, all the same insecurities, but they have the exact opposite. They've come to the exact opposite result of you. And so it can be very frustrating to try to make your way in that world. And so you ask yourself, what can I do about it? Well, what happens if you just start changing the world that you live in now? I don't think it's by accident that you find yourself in amidst a world with so much hate, because I think that you have love to give. And I think it might be the thing that you could actually do to change the world now. These aren't disembodied ideas. I'm saying be grounded in the moment that you're actually in. Right now, as I record this, it's Saturday at 1:15 p.m., 2020, Halloween, a couple days before an election. The world's spiraling into chaos. Well, what can I do about it? I can be stability. I can be love. I can be light. Those are things that I have control over. And if I do, you know, if everybody were to do that, then what would be the result? All of these complex problems that we can't get our minds around would begin to solve themselves. And you might say, well, that's not realistic. I would answer you and say, well, it doesn't matter. It's realistic for you now. And that's the point. It's not whether everybody else is going to do as you do. It's like that if you do it right now, it will change your life right now. That's the idea that emerges. That's why it matters. Because we live in a very complex world. We're very finite creatures. We have a very difficult time wrapping our minds around the complexity and the injustice and the confusion and the chaos that's completely surrounding us. But turns out we're not impotent in that. Turns out that this is the moment that you've been created. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing Halloween, amazing Saturday. Tune in on Monday for 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. Bye.